Yun ay lang, oh.
Canto, chapter 10, text number
வைக்காரிகஸ்து யஃ ப்ரோக்தஃ கோமாரஸ்து பயாத்மகஃ வைக்ருதாஸ்த்ரய ஏவைதே தேவசர்கஶ்ச சத்தமா வைக்காரிகஸ்து யஃ ப்ரோக்தஃ கோமாரஸ்து பயாத்மகஃ வைக்ருதாஸ்த்ரய ஏவைதே தேவசர்கஶ்ச சத்தமா வைக்காரிகஸ்து யஃ ப்ரோக்தஃ கௌமாரஸ்து பயாத்மகஃ previously described prakrita creations, natural creations. The appearance of the kumaras is both. So now there is no purport for this. We will read the next text, text number 28. Devasargaschashtavido vibudaha pitaro suraha gandharvatsarasa siddha யக்ஷராக்ஷாம்ஸி சாரணாஹ பூத ப்ரேத பிசாசாஶ்ச வித்யாத்ராஹ கின்னராதயஹ தஶயதே பிதுராக்யாதாஹ ஸர்காஸ்தே விஶ்வ ஸ்ருக்ருதாஹ The creation of the demigods is of 8 varieties. The demigods, the forefathers, the asuras are demons, the gandharvas and apsaras are angels, the yakshas and rakshasas, the siddhas, charanas and vidyadharas, the bhutas, pretas and pishachas, the superhuman beings, celestial singers, etc. All are created by Brahma, the creator of the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada ki, as explained in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the siddhas are inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where the residents travel in space without vehicles. At their mere will, they can pass from one planet to another without difficulty. Therefore, in the upper planets, the inhabitants are far superior to the inhabitants of this planet in all matters of art, culture and science, since they possess brains superior to those of human beings. The spirits and jinn mentioned in this connection are also counted among the demigods, because they are able to perform uncommon functions not possible for men. So we'll complete the chapter. There's just one more verse left here, which has a little purport. Ataparam pravakshyami vamshan man vantarana vantarani cha evam rajaplata srishta kalpatishvatma bhurharihi sujatyamoga sankalpa atmai vatmanamatmana. Now I shall describe the residence of the Manus, the creator, Brahma, as the incarnation of the passion and mode of personality of Godhead. Creates the universal affairs with unfailing desires in every millennium by the force of the Lord's energy. This small purport here, the Prabhupada. The cosmic manifestation is an expansion of one of the many energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creator and the created are both emanations of the same supreme truth, as stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasayataha. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the third canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Divisions of Creation. Om Ajnana Kamirandrasya Jnana Anjana Sharataya Chakshuruvan Meditam Yena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamashyam Padati Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Namo Krishna Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sandho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishapanasute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Kancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Krishna. We have completing this chapter on divisions of creation. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand how intricate and how deep is the knowledge of the creation of the material universe. So, in the field of material knowledge, material science, people hardly have begun to understand what life is and what the different living forms are. In this conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, he will read about, you know, animals having no legs or only wings, or animals having two legs, animals having four legs, and animals which have claws, animals which have nails. These are very vividly described how the creation takes place. And animals which can smell but cannot see, animals which can see but cannot smell, but animals can see but they can't hear. So there are very vivid descriptions given about the developed senses and the less developed senses of different insects and animals and birds and creatures, and how these creations are done. Very vividly it is described in the Bhagavatam. So these are all things we can observe and see in the world around us. The creation has already taken place, so we can watch it and match with what Bhagavatam is saying. So these were created by Brahma. Scientists were trying to give a very easy explanation for the living forms, trying to assume that one living form has developed from the other. When one living form adapts itself to the environment, gradually it turns into another. So the biggest problem that scientists faced was that they could not show how one living form changes into another. For example, the scientists think that the aquatics, when they come out of water, then they become amphibians, because they can survive in water and they can survive on land also, like a crocodile or like a frog. They are called amphibians. They can live in water, they can live outside water. So they thought, because they are able to survive in both, they must have come from this. See, this is a speculation. And then they thought, then they must have become land animals, and then gradually they must have turned into birds. But the other scientists argued that the amphibians and the birds, if you see, there is such a big drastic difference between the two. They are hot-blooded, these are cold-blooded. How they can be so different, totally. And their hands are supposed to turn into wings. But how did they develop into wings? How did they develop the ability to fly? So, among scientists itself, there was a lot of argument. When they dug the fossils, they found that all living forms, they erupt suddenly, without any connectivity to the previous living form. Like, you know, at one time they thought human beings have come from apes, but later they found some human skulls below the apes also. Even before the apes, human beings have existed. Then someone thought maybe from humans apes came. Isn't it? Millions of years ago, 20 million years ago, 15 million years ago, human skulls have existed. You see, they have this Australopithecus, Ramapithecus, they have names like this. So they think this Hanuman and Sugriva and all these people, they must be intermediate stage of evolution. They thought like that. Because these people are able to speak, and they are able to walk and behave like this thing. But the amazing thing is, they found was that the human beings like, you know, Ram, Lakshman and others, they coexisted along with Hanuman and Sugriva and Nala and such people. Not that the human beings, you know, evolved later on. At that time, in the whole of Ramayana, you find Ram also having, you know, mouth like Hanuman or something. No. You find that all the human beings who existed at that time, they existed along with, side by side with these monkeys, apes. And much before them, also human beings have existed from the dawn of creation. So when we ask such questions, there is no answer in the theory of evolution. So, and another most amazing thing for the scientists is such a highly complex systems. Each part of our body is complex. in itself. It's highly complex. And the most amazing part is how highly complex mechanisms they operate in coordination with each other. You see? Like for example, the eyes are highly complex because the retina adjusts itself to capture a picture, to see the picture properly. Isn't it? Similarly, the ears, similarly. See, the every one of the senses is also made with a foolproofing mechanism. Foolproof means like eyes. Eyes are able to see the sight, but if some dust particle comes, immediately the lid will close. It will not allow the dust to go into the eye. There is a mechanism, foolproof mechanism kept. Watch, you go, like you take some water and put in the eyes, it's cooling, refreshing, that the eye will allow. But you take some sand and put in the eyes, immediately it will close. So that arrangement is there. Same with nose also. There are some hairs inside the nose which screen the dust. It only allows air to go in, but the dust to be removed. Similarly, the ears also you'll find. Each part of the body is made like that. So this is a great amazement that each part is made very precisely and they all work in coordination. For example, I want to eat food. You take a morsel of food. As soon as you take nearby, imagine if it is 2-3 days old food. If it is like idli sambar which was made 4 days ago and just now heated again. Immediately wasps will come. Then a smell will come. Immediately throw it away. So, if you take a morsel of food, you are able to see it, you are able to smell it. Then if eyes and nose are scanning and saying that yes, it is fresh food, it is nice, then you put it in the mouth. Isn't it? Imagine if two eyes are behind. Isn't it? And nose is on your leg. What do you have to do? Here there is nothing here, it's plain here. No eyes, no nose here, only mouth is here. So you take the food in the leg and then show to the eyes first, and then show to the, and then you put in the mouth. Is it not? They all are assembled in one place and kept. So you can easily eat it, you see. So this is coordination of the complex senses with one another. It's very amazing. Like you see the hair, this hair grows long so people can comb and have different type of hairstyles. But this hair doesn't grow long. Imagine if this hair was about to grow and fall in the front. It'll close your eyes, you can't see. This grows only this much. And that also is used by people for beauty. People comb it and... Of course some women who shave this up, they won't get sleep. Because without this eyebrows, there are some glands here which release some liquid, which causes the sleep. But if you remove the eyebrows, you will see fishes have no this thing, eyebrows. Because they don't sleep only, they keep awake. One eye is sleeping, one eye is awake. Another eye is sleeping, this is awake. You have seen the dolphins? So they don't have any eyebrows. So foolish people think, what is the need of eyebrows? I will make my own stylish eyebrows. So they remove this hair and they don't get sleep, they get insomnia. So this is creation of God. It's very amazing. It's very amazing creation. So scientists are discovering more and more that this beautiful, not just one body, millions of copies of similar bodies and varieties of bodies also are being produced in the nature. And scientists can only, with folded palms, watch how a child is being produced in the womb of a mother. They cannot imitate it. All this so-called story of a test tube baby is an eyewash. No scientist can produce a baby in a test tube. Test tube baby means they mix the egg and the sperm in a tube and they put it in the womb. And then it develops in the womb. Then you call it a test tube baby. So they use such names to bewilder the atheists, other atheistic fellows, to increase the crowd of atheists in this world. And they use such words like, test tube baby. What test tube baby? Can you produce baby in a test tube? Challenge a scientist. Ask them, a biomedical boy, can you produce a baby in a test tube, sir? We will even supply you egg. Still you cannot produce. Even if you supply egg and a sperm, still they cannot produce a baby in a test tube. They need the womb of a mother to again put back the egg to grow it into a child. So, here you find not just one baby or two babies, millions of species are being produced by Brahma, very amazingly. So, we will read this description of these eight varieties of demigods which is given here. This explanation comes later. So, we'll just know about each of them. See, what Brahma does when he is given the task of creation, the very first thing he does is, he prepares the background for creating the material world first. Because without preparing background, the living entities will not be able to do what they have come to do here. The living entities have come here to enjoy separate from Krishna, isn't it? So how to, like if a soul leaves a spiritual world and comes here, he will not be able to enjoy, although he wants to enjoy. The Prabhupada says here, when the living entity prefers to misuse his independence and glide down towards nescience, the all-merciful Lord first of all tries to protect him from the trap. Lord tries to protect him by giving him good advice. But when the living entity persists in gliding down to hell, the Lord helps him to forget his real position. The Lord helps the falling living entity glide down to the lowest point just to give him the chance to see if he is happy by misusing his independence. Almost all the conditioned souls who are rotting in the material world are misusing their independence. And therefore, five kinds of nescience are imposed upon them. As an obedient servitor of the Lord, Brahma creates all this as a matter of necessity, but he is not happy in doing so. Because the devotee of the Lord naturally does not like to see anyone falling down from his real position, he is saying. So, now you understand the reason Prabhupada gives, why Brahma creates these five kinds of nescience. The first thing he created is called as tamaha. Tama means to, the jiva first of all thinks, I am this material body. I am product of matter, I am this material body, this is me, what I see in my in the mirror, that is me. He thinks like that. So this is the first type of trap. And as soon as it identifies with the material body, what is the next thing that follows? The second thing that follows is tamishra. Sorry, andhatamishra. Andhatamishra means, it is called as the sense of death. Oh, death will take away everything. One has fear of death. I am this body, when you think like this. Then when this body is taken away, then I have great fear. That's the second thing he created. Everybody, you know, they cry if somebody dies, or they themselves don't want to die. Isn't it? Just see if a doctor says that you have cancer, or you have this or that, people cry like anything. It's a big shock for them. Because the body is going to be taken away. Because the body is the source of all enjoyment, they think like that. It's going to be taken away. Prabhupada writes very beautifully here. I'll read one. Why shall I not be a free enjoyer like the Supreme Lord? The jiva thinks like this. This forgetfulness of his constitutional position is due to anger or envy. And then he says, the condition of not knowing anything about spirit soul is called tamas. And he says, the material world is also generally called tamas. Why? Because 99% of the living entities in the material world are ignorant of their identity as soul. Almost everyone is thinking that he is this body. He has no information of the spirit soul. So Prabhupada went to Russia. There he met one professor, Kotovsky, who was considered a very big professor in the psychology department. So Prabhupada, while talking to him, he asked him, who are you? And he told him, my name is Kotovsky. He said, that is all right, but what will happen to you after death? After my death, everything will be finished, he said. And Prabhupada was shocked. But what survives at the time of death? Prabhupada asked. He said, I don't know. Everything is finished. And Prabhupada was so shocked. You are such a big professor and you are teaching students. Are you a teacher or are you a cheater? Huh? And then after that, Prabhupada went to many other countries where he quoted Kotovsky's name. He said, I went to Russia, I met Professor Kotovsky. He doesn't know about the soul. He doesn't know about transmigration. He says he'll be finished at the time of death. What kind of professor is he? Again and again, Prabhupada expressed surprise. And then that's why Prabhupada writes like this. Almost 99% of the world population is like this. They don't even know who they are. Ignorant of their identity. It's the very first thing. And then he says, guided by this misconception, then one always thinks, this is my body and anything in relationship with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of mental existence. Yeah, and then he says, as soon as they get the opportunity for sex life, they become attached to home, motherland, children, wealth and opulence. As these attachments increase, the moha or the illusion of the bodily concept of life also increases. You see, out of these five, there is one called as moha. And what is this moha? Moha means illusion. Illusion and attachment to things in relation to material body. That is moha. First of all, the very meaning of the word moha means illusion, which means attachment to the enjoyment arising from things that are material, in relation to the material body. And attachment means what? You know, holding them in the mind and endeavoring to make plans to enjoy them. All the objects of this world. Like he says, in Tamil generally he used to say three things. Man, pen, pon. Three things. Man means land. Pen means opposite sex. Pon means gold. So, attraction, attachment and attraction for gold. You go in the streets, when you go, you find there are so many billboards showing some women wearing some necklaces. You know, so there is gold, attraction for gold, isn't it? And some people want to store gold biscuits in their bureaus or put money in the Swiss bank, wealth. And another one is attachment for land. Like people like Tata Birla and all, they purchase lands which they never see also. So their ownership is only in the mind only. Because they spend money, they sign a check and everything. They don't even get to go there and see where they purchase the land. You see, they buy hundreds and thousands of acres and put. Like I heard in our Hinjawadi, you know, Infosys has purchased some 200 acres. Ahead of Hinjawadi, I heard. So people buy like that, big pieces of land. And as money comes, people want to go on expanding their property more and more and more. But just expanding this material possession, that is based on the false understanding that I am the owner. Is it not true? That proprietorship. That comes. So moha means to identify with the material things and becoming attached to them. And mahamoha means a madness for material enjoyment. That's called mahamoha. Like a moth racing into the blazing fire. Like that one who is becoming practically, that is why Shastras use the word like matta, pramatta, unmatta. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Unmatta means gone case. So this is called mahamoha. See, a person in the stage of mahamoha, he will burn himself in, just like Alexander. By the age of 29, practically he conquered the whole world. And by 32 he was dead. He was going on increasing his proprietorship of the things in this world more and more in this way. So our proprietorship, Prabhupada writes very beautifully, says he says here, the first condition of mental existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity, called as tamas, tamaha. And as soon as one forgets real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death. Correct, no? When you forget the real identity and think I am this body, then we are afraid of death. That is called as Andha. Andhata Mishra. That is second one. And then he says, although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless. Then he says, this false identification with material nature is the cause of false ownership of things. See how he develops subject, slightly, little by little. when you falsely identify with the body, then you also have false ownership of people and things. Here he talks only about things. Things which are offered by the arrangement of superior control. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of duties of self-realization in conditional life. See, he is saying that in this world we are given sunlight. See, the sun and moon are also the two eyes of the Virat Purusha. Is it not? So, whose eyes are there? Lord Vishnu's eyes, Krishna's eyes. Krishna says, you know, Chandra and Surya are the two eyes of the Virat Purusha form. And the sunlight is needed for all living beings to live. Like the plants cannot survive without sunlight. Even we cannot survive. You know, in extreme cold, living entities would perish, isn't it? So the sunlight gives warmth to the body and it gives light to see each other. Otherwise you can't see one another. Is it not true? So the sun gives heat and light. The sun also gives out energy. And also the moon, it brings out the it brings six type of tastes as well as the medicinal purposes of the certain types of herbs and everything. Is it not true? So with all these things you are taking, so Prabhupada is saying here, you get the grains, you get the fruits, you get all these things for what? For survival in this world and to perform the duty of self-realization, which is for the next world. So these are provided for living peacefully here. That verse 3.9, 10, 11, it says, Devan Bhavetanena Te Deva Bhavayantuvaha. It says, you know, Parasparam Bhavayanta Shreya Paramavapsata. He says, so in this way, he says, we are not supposed to hold on to anything of this world, but we are supposed to accept whatever we need. The example is given of how if you keep a sack of rice on a road, a sparrow will come, eat little bit and fly off. Isn't it? A dog or a cat or any animal may come, eat little bit, as soon as their belly is full, they'll go away. But a human being comes, what he'll do? Immediately, yeah, he will not only take the whole sack, he'll find out where it came from, let me get more. Isn't it? Immediately he'll bring a bullock cart and load it and take it, you see. So who has the storing tendency? Human beings, you see. Store and store and store. So much so, one of the politicians recently, who is behind the bars now, he has looted something like, oh, I know, 1,00,000 crore, they are saying. So, 1 lakh, and it's such a big crore, you can't even write it down. Figures, if you write, you'll get confused. So much he stole, and it is said he has two sons, but he didn't want to put it in his son's name also, because he thought that they will murder me. You know, once the money comes to their hand, they will murder me in order to have ownership. So, he put the money in Swiss bank. But now, who is going to own that money after he dies? So, the tendency of the conditioned soul to grab the objects of the world and hold on to himself, that is actually called proprietorship. See, from proprietorship comes the other two, enjoyership and controllership. You see? So, the first thing is what? Proprietorship. But what is the root cause of proprietorship? That is identification with the material body. That's the root cause. That is why the Tama and Andatamishra, these two are the cause of Moha and Mahamoha. You see? So Tama leads to Andatamishra. And then subsequently that leads to Moha. Moha means to... Like for example, when somebody's relative dies, they cry. Why? Because they think these people are my people. So, we possess things and we possess people also. We become attached to people also, attached to things. Like one, this is a president of some country, Philippines or somewhere, I don't remember where she is. But she has got 6,000 chapels. Can you imagine? You know, one Maharaj was telling, she's got 6,000 chapels, how can she wear them? In a year also, we have only 365 days. How can she wear 6,000 chapels? He said, you'll need a Vishwarupa to wear 6,000 chapels. You need to be able to have Vishwarupa to wear 2 chapels for each two feet. Isn't it? Yeah, people store like that. People, like there is one actress in India who wears one new chappal every day. Yeah, because people try to accumulate so much. So this is a tendency of the conditioned soul to claim proprietorship of things actually which don't belong to him at all. It is created by Krishna through his agency of material nature. But then the false ownership comes. As soon as the false ownership, proprietorship comes, then one becomes attached to those things. You see, attachment, like Krishna says, Jayate Vishyan Punsa Sangha Sishupa Jayate, that word Sangha is a very important word there. Attachment. Because the attachment acts like a seed in the heart. For example, somebody is going in the road, you suddenly see a beautiful, colorful bungalow. It is an independent bungalow. You know, it has got a beautiful garden on all four sides, nice gate, and you know, colorful orange and pink and you know, blue and green, all different colors. So you think, you know, maybe I can find out how costly is this house, I would like to buy it. See, in those days, if you buy a row house, it was some 10-15 lakhs. Now, if you buy an independent bungalow, it may go in a few crores now, isn't it? But although you're living in it, you may not be able to spend even a few lakhs also. Still, he wants to go inside and see how the house is. Let me go in and see the backyard and see the facilities and everything. So once first of all, he has no money in the pocket to buy it. But once he goes inside and sees everything, then the house enters into his mind. And the firm development of attachment comes. He develops a very strong attachment. And as the attachment comes, now he is going back now. And the plan making starts immediately. Next plan is, how to get this house? For that I will have to make some 4 crores or 5 crores. But I don't have money. No problem. Earn money by fair or foul means. You know? Somehow you have to get money. And then loot. I am selling some commodity. I will keep 5,000% profit. Yeah, people do like that. You know, in the Vedic times, the Vaishyas, they were also controlled by Shastric rules. That they cannot make exorbitant profits. You know that? Yeah. Now also they have, if you ask the business people, they have many forums and all, which controls the profit, you know. But then, you know, people even bribe them and keep big profits and all. Yeah. So, in this way, the plan making starts only after the attachment comes. So, we all can see, even during chanting, sometimes the plan making goes on. The plan making will happen only for things which you are attached to. Like somebody is too much attached to health. They are likely to make too many fine plans to take care of health. See, it is not wrong to take care of health. But you know, if somebody becomes so overly concerned, like you know, if a devotee says, I will take care of the body so much, I sleep at 7 o'clock only. I will get up at morning 4 o'clock. I will take care of the body, take care of this. Too much of taking care. Actually, we take care of the body to serve Krishna. So when body is healthy, we have to give Krishna completely. So, in this way we will find that anything we develop attachment to, from that we make plans. Multiple plans. Innumerable plans we make. One thing is a plan making, another one is a lusting tendency. Lusting tendency means, you know, repeatedly remembering that which we are attached to, yeah, and then making plans to get it. Both the things. This lusting causes hankering. This hankering is a Hankering is more dangerous than having the object with us. Like, you know, when you are driving a car, imagine keeping your foot in the clutch, you know, touching and leaving. Sometimes people keep the foot in the brake pedal also like that. That upgrades the brake. You have seen that? Similarly, if you are going to constantly hanker, that hankering for the objects that we are attached to and plan making for the same objects, this really burns the heart of the conditioned soul. You see? And all these things arise from false ownership, false proprietorship, which is called as moha. And the moha leads to mahamoha, madness for material enjoyment. Like you see, this is not a devotee story, this is a non-devotee story, but it is connected to a devotee's family. One devotee was selling, you know, his sister fell in love with the boy, She wanted to marry, and parents told her, hey, you want to marry a boy of another caste, you know, who is not absolutely not known to us, you know, how can you marry? She said, nothing doing, you know. I have fallen in love with him and everything. And then even that boy was telling her, no, 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 you don't marry me, you marry somebody else only. You know, I will marry whomever my parents say. But anyway, somehow that this girl, Daredevil, she made a bold step. And then now she married that boy in registered marriage. Nobody went, no relatives went. Nobody went for that. Of course she got married now, but after marriage now she is pregnant now, and the man has left her. And he says that, no, 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 now I'm, no. He took lot of dowry and everything and ran away practically. Now they are not even divorced now. Now she has come back to home. Can you imagine? How? So this is called madness for material enjoyment. You know? When one becomes mad, one cannot think of the consequences that will come in the future. You know? And the consequences may be terrible, you see. If a girl remains loyal to mother and father, they will be protected by the parents. That is why even in our marriage bureau and everything, we don't encourage children to discard the parents. They should learn to smartly bring the parents together to settle in marriage. Because the community structure is very important, and that support is also required, you see. So, but when one becomes maddened, it's called, like we say, you know, madanda, dhananda, kamanda, lastanda. Lastanda is actually kamanda. So when one becomes andha, andha means blind, then pashyana pina pashyati, we say, one cannot see, one loses the discrimination power, one loses good intelligence, one just like a moth entering fire, one enters into misfortune in one's life. That is why moha and mahamoha. Mahamoha is madness for material enjoyment. That kind of madness. And moha means illusion. Illusion of proprietorship. Foolish proprietorship. Actually nothing belongs to us. That's why Lord Chaitanya prayed, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamba, Jagadishakame. Nothing belongs to me, my dear Lord. I don't possess, I am simply a bhikari. Nothing in this world belongs to me. Everything belongs to you. That is why Lord is the Palankarta, Lord is the one who is our protector, He is our maintainer, He is the proprietor, He is the owner of everything. Ishopanishad, the very beginning, it teaches about who is the owner. It's very important. So we don't possess anyone, we don't possess anything. We should be really convinced about this. I heard a very nice example. When I returned back to Pune, a devotee told me, quoted by Gaur Krishna Prabhu. Gaur Krishna Prabhu said, if a Panditji is conducting marriage, he is telling the girl, you know, say this, say that, and tell the boy, say this, say that. And then if the Panditji tells her that you belong to me, then instead of giving him a nice flower garland, they will give him Jutamka garland. Chappal garland he will get. Of course, it's a very decent way of saying he will get chappal garland. He will not get chappal garland, he will get beaten up by chappal. Isn't it? So he was telling, similarly, when we are bringing people to the fold of Krishna consciousness, they are all owned by Krishna. They are not owned by us. Ultimately, Krishna is the real pati. Like we say, Shreya pati, Dhara pati, Yajna pati, Dhyam pati, Satvatam pati, we say, no? The Satvatam Pati has double meaning. One Satvatam means Satvat dynasty. Another meaning of Satvatam Pati is the master of the devotees also. So, in this way, Krishna is the Patim Pati, it is said. He is the Pati of all Patis. And he is the Krishna Mande Jagat Guru. He is the Guru of all the living entities also, ultimately. So, we are bringing people to him. We are not possessing them ourselves. So we should not possess anyone, we should not possess anything. We have to offer everything to Krishna. So that giving up a proprietorship is actually the most foundational thing in spiritual life for a growing sadhaka, handing over the things to Krishna. And then there will be no Mahamoha. Mahamoha comes from Moha only. If Moha is cut off, then Mahamoha will not be there. Madness of material enjoyment. chase after the mirage. That is Mahamohan. Chase after the mirage. Foolish thing. So this Tama and Andhrita Mishra, Moha and Mahamoha. I am the body, thinking I am the body, and Andhrita Mishra is, oh, I am going to die, or some relatives are dying. One is subjected to great pain because of such identification. So these are all things Prabhupada so beautifully explains, that develop one after another. Due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the sense of false ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. See? So, and the last thing that Brahma is created is called Tamishra. Tamishra means the anger arising from frustration. Due to not able to enjoy the way that one wants to enjoy. There is anger arising from frustration of not able to become the proprietor of all the properties. You see, these are all principles we are talking today. But when you look at the lives of demons, these become very easily, graphically presented. Like you see this fellow, Kamsa, he's selling to Akrura. He's selling Akrura. Who is this Ugrasena? He's saying, Ugrasena. This Ugrasena is an old man. And he's an old man sitting in this thing. I'll put him in the jail, he says. And then he's asking one by one like that. I'll kill Krishna. I'll put Ugrasena in jail. And all the other kings who are my rivals, I will destroy all of them. And as far as powerful kings like Jarasandha are concerned, Jarasandho Mamo Guru, he's saying. They are like guru for me. They like me very much. Because we are birds of the same feather. So we will nourish each other's demoniac propensities. So in this way he is talking, making plan. So the drama they showed here, he saw, ha 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 ha, he was laughing. Amal Mahaprabhu acted in that. My Lord, our devotees have so much talents. Amazing, I couldn't believe. That laughter was so heart-shattering, isn't it? So, you can see Kamsa, how he is speaking to Akrura. That is actually plan-making. First of all, he is attached to being the king of the whole world. And he wants to, those who are his enemies, he wants to destroy them. Those who are, after the same jati, he wants to ally with them. You can see this propensity in the demons. And all these people, whether it is Hiranyakashipu or Ravana, when Ravana came to Sita, he was telling his glories. He said, of course Sita became angry, she was telling so many things to him. She said, my husband Ram, he is like sandalwood, pulp, and you are like mud, she said. Ram is like Garuda, you are like but a crow. She said, Lord, Ram is like an ocean. And you are like a puddle. Lord Ram is like gold. And you are like iron. Lord Ram is like sun. And you are like a firefly. So many things she said like that. That Ram is like a Meru Parvat. And you are like a small stone. So he heard all these things of criticism. After hearing it, he said, all this is all right, Sita, but first hear my glories. She said, enough is enough. I don't want to hear anymore. No, you have to hear. Otherwise, if you don't know my glories, then how will you come with me? So then he started telling her, do you know, I have defeated Kubera and stolen away his Pushpaka Viman, and I have brought it here with me. And that's my glory. And all the demigods, when they see me, they will remove their helmets and keep it at my feet. Along with their folded palms, they will be trembling if they see me. Something similar, this will also say, Hiranyakashipu. All the demigods, and all the chief rulers of the world will tremble along with their planets when they look at me. You see? So, and then this was telling how if you come to Lanka, I am Lanka Naresh, and there are crores of rakshasas are saluting me, and I am not going to make you one amongst the women there. You will become the chief queen. I have not given this position to anybody. I have reserved it for you. She said, hell with you and your facilities. Yeah. How Actually, Ramayana is very interesting to read. When you read Ravana's mentality. So, it all starts from this Moha and Mahamoha. So, these five types of covering Brahma created in the beginning. And then it says, you know, he was not happy after creating them. See, it says here. Brahma was unhappy after creating all this. Yeah. Out of disgust, Brahma threw off the body of ignorance, and taking this opportunity, Yakshas and Rakshasas sprang for possession of the body, which continued to exist in the form of night. So night is the source of hunger and thirst. So when Brahma threw out this body of ignorance, actually, although he created these things as a service to Krishna, why? Because the living entities need these five coverings in order to be able to delight in material enjoyment. Because, you know, only in illusion living entities can be happy in the material world. Otherwise they cannot be happy. So he created these five types of illusions, five types of coverings. But then he himself was not happy, he was a little pained at heart. Because, yes, like for example, Yamaraj now, you know, Yamaraj is in charge of the hell. But then do you think Yamaraj is very happy seeing all the living entities, you know, fried in the oil like puris? Isn't it? And they are beaten up and whipped. And you think Yamaraj is delighting? Yes, very nice it is. No, Yamaraj feels great pain. He is a pure devotee. He doesn't like to see the living entities suffering. He wants them to be lived. But sometimes you will find even a mother and father may take a child to a doctor, and the doctor may say that the boy has to be operated. Do you think mother will be very happy to see that? It's a very painful thing. But sometimes she is holding the hand of the child, body of the child again, although he is crying a lot, and the doctor is doing the surgery. And the child knows, my mother is determined to see me, you know, operated. That is another type of love. To see them cleaned up, purified. Durga, Brahma and all these personalities in this world, they have to do this type of job. So Brahma created this, but he was not very happy. He says out of disgust, he threw away the body of ignorance, and taking this opportunity, Yakshas and Rakshasas sprang for possession of the body. So they took this body, and that is the reason why these personalities, they have a lot of strength in the night, isn't it? Like the demigods always pray to Lord, my dear Lord, now the sun is setting, please finish off the demon, because once the night comes, it's very dangerous. Just like Taraka also, the first demon, both Ram killed one demoness and Krishna also killed one demoness. The first demon they killed were women. So, when Ram had to kill Taraka also, he was hesitating in the beginning. Vishwamitra told him, don't hesitate. Because he said that she is not a woman, she is not a man, she is a Rakshasi. The Rakshasa Prabhupada should be destroyed. And he said, if you don't destroy them now, in the night they become extremely powerful. They will apply some mystic illusions. They will disappear in one place, they will reappear in another place, they will take a huge form. And they will do magical feats by changing their forms and everything. Magical wizards. So they will do things like that. So they captured this knight. Overpowered by hunger and thirst, they ran to devour Brahma from all sides and cried, spare him not, eat him up. They shouted like that. So the ones who said he should be eaten, they are called Yakshas. Yaksha. And the ones who said that he should not be protected, they became Rakshasas. See, the Rakshasa word comes from the Raksha. So they said, don't protect him. And the Yakshas said, Bakshan, eat him. So eat him up, they said. So the two yakshas and rakshasas are the original creation by Brahma and are the represented even until today in the uncivilized men who are scattered all over the universe. They are born of mode of ignorance. And because of their behavior, they are called rakshasas or man-eaters. You see? These are rakshasas. You see, most of the categorization you find, they are made based on what foods they eat. Like somebody is called a shvapach. Shvapach means one who eats dog and digests, isn't it? It's called shvapach. Shvapach. Shva means dog. Pach means pachan karna. Shvapach means one who eats dog. Shvapach or chandal we call. And similarly, mlecha means who? A cow. Cow flesh eater. It's called as mlecha. Similarly, yavana. So all these names are categorized depending on the quality of foods they eat. Different types of foods they eat, you see. And also the quality of their cleanliness, the quality of their lifestyle, the quality of their faith in God and adherence to scriptures. Based on these things, the categorization is made. And then there are different categories explained for the, say, Brahma next created the, here there's a brief description given there. He then created the chief demigods who were shining with the glory of goodness. He dropped before them the effulgent form of daytime, and the demigods sportingly took possession of it. So the effulgent, the demigods were themselves in the glory of goodness, and they all took the daytime. Lord Brahma then gave birth to the demons from his buttocks, and they were very fond of sex. Because they were too lustful, they approached him for copulation. The worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity, but finding the shameless asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. He approached the personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who displays the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of the lotus feet. That's what he's saying. And then he said, Pahimam, Pahimam, Paramatmanste, Preshne Nasrijam Prajaha. Lord Brahma, approaching the Lord, addressed him, My Lord, please protect me from these sinful demons who were created by me under your order. They are infuriated by an appetite for sex and they have come to attack me. He said, My Lord, you are the only one capable of ending the affliction of distress and all that he prayed. And the Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, understood Brahma's distress, and he said, Cast off this impure body of yours. Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. That body also cast off. The body given up by Brahma took the form of the evening twilight. When the day and night meet, the time which comes is called twilight. The asuras, who are passionate by nature, dominated as they are by the element of rajas, took it for a damsel whose lotus feet resounded with tinkling of anklets, whose eyes were wide with intoxication, whose hips were covered by fine cloth over which shone a girdle. So, three things are over now. The knight was taken possession by who? Rakshasas and Yakshas, they took it. And the daytime was taken possession by demigods. Now another third category is saying that the demons who were born of the buttocks of Brahma, who were trying to attack Brahma himself, so they took possession of the twilight. So twilight, when the Brahma cast off his body, it came down, gliding down like a, it was like twilight time, that kind of color. So they saw it and appeared like a beautiful woman, and they took possession of it. Enjoy. See, the meaning of this is what? That means they didn't disturb Brahma anymore. Brahma cast off that body only, okay, this is what you are after, you take it. And then he was freed from the danger. Adorned with, then the description of this. The demons are praising her. Oh, what a beauty! What rare self-control! What a budding youth! And they were just glorifying him. It's a really. Who are you, O pretty girl? Whose wife or daughter are you? And what can be the object of your appearing before us? Why do you tantalize us, unfortunate as we are, with the priceless commodity of your beauty? You see, this is a very nice illusion, because this is nothing but Brahma's body casted off, which is sliding down from the sky. It's like a cloud. But it appears like a woman, and that is why these demons are becoming attracted to it. Understand? All the beauties of the material world are like that. Once Prabhupada was walking in a road with some disciples. He showed a cloth shop. And he showed the disciples and said, "You see this mannequin kept inside of a woman. So Prabhupada, can you enjoy it?" Prabhupada said, "Prabhupada is a doll." And Prabhupada said, "Everybody's body is like this only. Nobody can enjoy this one. It's like made of mud or made of wood or made of some material elements like that. It's perishable beauty. No one can enjoy it." But still people are mad for, woman is mad for man and man is mad for woman in this world. So that comes from this demoniac quality. But still the Lord is kind and considerate. He has kept a regulated procedure for the living entities to live within the sacred vow of married life and use the union for procreation of divine children and make the life holy. Instead of aggravating this hankering. This hankering is actually a passionate hankering for nothing. Sometimes you find, you know, in a dustbin, some scavengers are fighting over who will get that paper or something from a dustbin. You've seen that? They're fighting for nothing. And they are storing things in a sack or something, goni or something, foolishly. So it's like that in this world, they're fighting for this kind of lusty attractions. Yeah. So, and then he's saying, okay, instead of reading this from Bhagavatam, I will read the summary, it will go more faster. So, okay, first the Yaksharakshas and chief demigods, and then the third type of demons, okay. And then Gandharvas and Apsaras, they appeared from personal loveliness of Brahma and took shining form of moonlight. That took shining form of moonlight. So we have talked about twilight, now there is moonlight. So the Gandharvas and Apsaras, they took possession of the moonlight and they were created from the personal loveliness of Brahma. Have you seen that picture where Brahma is sitting and Sarigama Padanisa is coming out of his body? You have seen that? Very beautiful, is sitting with Veena and everything. So he's creating religion and the religion, all those things. So they were created from Brahma's personal loveliness, Gandharvas and Apsaras. That's why Apsaras are beautiful in dancing. And Gandharvas are famous for singing. Yeah. So they took possession of the moonlight. Moon is very soothing. And then later ghosts, you know, they arose from laziness. Okay, let us see. So, when the demon suddenly sees this twilight, just as moths rush into fire, for they took it to be the alluring form of a beautiful woman. Okay, then with a laugh that was full of deep significance, Brahma next evolved hosts of Gandharvas and Apsaras from his personal loveliness. When he gave up that shining and beloved form of moonlight, Vishwavasu and other Gandharvas took possession of it. Thereafter, Brahma created ghosts from his laziness. Upon seeing them before him, naked with scattered hair, he closed his eyes. The Bhutas and Pishachas possessed the body that Brahma then threw off in the form of his yani, and which is also known as the sleep that causes drooling. For this reason, such ghosts attack those men who are impure, and by possessing them, they cause what is known as insanity. See, when you sleep in the night, you get drool from your mouth, you know, coming saliva, which is coming from the mouth, that's called as drool. So, when people are unclean, they don't take bath. Sometimes in some countries, people don't take bath even for 2 weeks. Now, once in 2 weeks they have something called the shower day. Go for a bath. So when people are unclean, then ghosts come and possess them and cause them to become insane, practically. Oru tamaguna is saying like that. So how did the ghosts look like? They long hair. They do not exist. Sometimes people get, they unfold their hair. So when Rama saw, he just closed his eyes out of fear and he cast out that body. And then that body was taken by those ghosts and fiends. And ghost body came from where? Laziness of Rama, you see. Which means when we are lazy, our lazy propensities will make us behave like a ghost. Sometimes people grow long hair everywhere. No? They look like a ghost because they're lazy to shave. And then he is saying, Brahma next created hosts of satyas and pitrus by means of an invisible form that came from his navel. Then the pitas took possession of that invisible body, and it is through the medium of this form that offerings are made to them during the performance of Shraddha ceremony. See, people wonder when you cook some anna, make a round pinda, you know, and you offer it to Vishnu, and then you offer it to the crows, and offer it to other creatures also. How does it go to the pitrus? You know, who may be elsewhere, they may be in hell, or they may be in heaven. We don't know where they are, how it goes. Just like we send an email, or just like we send a money order, or anything like that, that's how it goes. But there's a connection made. By that arrangement is made by this. The system which is mentioned here. And the pitas get the benefit. This is the only thing where you do karma for somebody and they get the benefit. Otherwise, in every other karma, whatever you do, it goes in your account. Whereas, this Pindada Kriya is prescribed as a Shraddha ceremony. When you do for your forefathers, it goes to their benefit. So from his ability to remain invisible, Brahma next created the Siddhas and Vidyadharas and gave them that form which is called as Antardhan. Antardhan means disappearing from one place and reappearing in another. So Vidyadharas and Siddhas, they can do that. Like Siddhas, even today, they have a certain type of plant. They can hold, if they hold the plant in the hand, you know, they can become invisible in one place and reappear in another place. Yeah, they do. There are Siddhas even in the Himalayas now. When they raise their arms like this from their armpit, you know, there's a torch light. Kind of big light comes for a long distance. So different powers they possess, the Siddhas and the Vidyadharas. When Brahma saw his reflection in the water, he evolved the Kim Purushas and Kinnaras from it while admiring himself. When Brahma gave up that shadowy form, those beings took possession of it. So, Hanuman belongs to Kim Purusha planet. Kim Purusha, who is this Purusha? Yes, that is the meaning of Kim Purusha. When he saw his own reflection in the water, yes. So from that came out the Kim Purushas and Kinnaras. And once while lying down, Brahma became anxious while thinking about how the work of creation was not progressing properly. In that depressed state, he gave up his body, and the hair that dropped to the ground transformed into snakes. Then fierce nagas sprang out from that body as it crawled along the ground with contracted limbs. You see? Now Brahma was a little depressed. He wasn't very happy with these different forms he has created till now. Because some auspicious and some inauspicious forms are coming out now. One day when Brahma felt as if the object of his life had been accomplished, he evolved the Manus from his mind and gave them his own human form. The demigods, Gandharvas and others who had already been created applauded Brahma by saying, "Oh creator, what you have produced is well done. Since ritualistic performances will now be established in human society, we shall all share the sacrificial oblations," they said. So, So he evolved the manus from the mind. Thereafter Brahma created great sages that would set example of how to act for spiritual elevation. And to each of his sons, he gave a part of his body, each of which was variously endowed with the qualities of deep meditation, yoga, mystic powers, austerity, knowledge and renunciation. Like from the eyes he created Atri, from the ears he created Pulastya, from the tongue he created Daksha, from the deliberation he created Narada. Like that, he creates those personalities subsequently. So, this is what is here. See this translation of 29. The creation of the demigod is of 8 varieties. The demigod, forefathers, pitrus, asuras and demons, the gandharvas and apsaras are angels, the yakshas and rakshasas, siddhas, saranas, vidyadharas, the bhutas, pretas, pishachas, the superhuman beings, celestial singers, gandharvas, all are created by Brahma, the creator of the universe. So in this way, this description of elaboration of this comes later, as I was reading now. Just prior to the pastime of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, just prior to that it comes. It will be elaborated later. That is, if you want to know, read this section. This is 3rd canto, 28th chapter. 3rd canto. This, what chapter is going on currently? 10th chapter. So if you read 3rd canto, 28th chapter, you will get elaboration of these 8 creations of Brahma. So, one controlling point. When we read about these different kinds of living beings created in different gunas, you know, we can develop a desire to improve the quality of our consciousness and become more divine. Because Brahma was not at all happy seeing the lower forms. Even when Rudra created, you know, furious forms and dangerous forms who were about to devour the whole world, Brahma got fed up. When he saw demons, he got fed up. When he saw the asuras, yakshas, rakshasas, he was not happy. Which goes to show, Brahma is also a devotee. He wants to see the living entities, you know, aligning with the Supreme Lord's will and go back home, back to Godhead. Although he has created a facility for enjoyment in this world, he doesn't want them to be stuck in this enjoyment. He wants them to go beyond, go back to Godhead. And that's why he's feeling very sad when he sees all these living forms accepting the different mentalities, and they are all thinking that, see, everybody thinks we'll be happy in our own way. The rakshasas are happy with the night, and the other type of rakshasas are happy with twilight, passion, and even the demigods of the day, they are also an illusion, although they are in sattvaguna, mode of goodness, because they think that is the standard of happiness, which is ultimate, they are thinking. Everybody is stuck in this world. So Brahma, there is one full chapter called as Kingdom of God, you will read, where Brahma is telling all demigods, I feel so sorry for you, because you are not thinking of the Kingdom of God, how wonderful place it is. Then he is describing the Vaikuntha Lokas very beautifully. And he is telling all the demigods that it is such a rare place to go. Once you go, you never come back. And all of you are just wasting your life here without preparing yourself to go back. It's a very nice chapter. In fact, the description of Kingdom of God is only half the chapter. Other half you will find Brahma lamenting. Brahma lamenting, seeing the plight of the souls who are happy and satisfied in this world only, who are not planning to quit the world and go back to Godhead. So, the purpose of describing all these things for us is to know that there are different types of living beings in this world. And they are created in different ways. And we can also be passing from one body to another into all these different species, spending our time in this world. Or we can wind up our term and go back to Godhead. So this chapter is over. Next chapter is a technical chapter. Calculation of time from atom. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, one question. Why does Lord provide such a pleasure which makes the living entity go crazy, especially in the demonical platform? How can one get rid of such bad karma? Actually, you see, this pleasure is not pleasure. This is something imagined as pleasure. It's not that Lord is providing some pleasure. Just like Baba says, in one sense there is no suffering for the soul. Can the soul be killed? Soul cannot be killed. And can the body be inflicted with suffering? Body is dead matter, like this is dead matter now. We cannot feel any suffering. Body is also like that. So who can feel the suffering then? The illusioned soul. So Prabhupada is saying, when a deer is being torn by a tiger, actually as such there is no suffering, because once the deer dies, the soul comes out and goes into another body. There is no loss. And the Panchamahabhutas in the body of the deer merge with the Panchamahabhutas of the world. So, but as long as the soul thinks I am deer, then he suffers. Is it not true? Same is true for pleasure also. Actually, man's body, woman's body, it is all just made up of Panchamahabhuta. Is it not true? Is there anything different constitution? I mean, if you see the constituents of woman's body and man's body, it's the same. That is why we should study Sankhya. If you study Sankhya, you know, one will lose all attraction for enjoyment, pleasure, materialistic pleasure. If you read Sankhya, because Sankhya sees everything in terms of 24 elements. You take any body in this world, animal's body, man's body, woman's body, it's made of 24 elements. You know, Bhumi, Rapa, Nalava, you come, Manaha, Buddhi, Ahankar, and you take the Tanmatras. Yeah, you take the 5 Jnanendriyas, 5 Karmendriyas, you take like that and analyze and see. Actually, there is as such no difference between the material bodies. Maybe, as Prabhupada says, woman's body is made physically slightly weaker than in comparison to your male body or whatever. Psychophysical natures may be different. But actually the constituents are the same, practically. So, if somebody says, why did Lord create the pleasure? As such, there is no pleasure. It is imagined pleasure. Like it's like camel's pleasure. Why did Lord keep the pleasure in the cactus? You know, because poor camel will not suffer so much. Actually, there is no pleasure in cactus. But the camel foolishly thinks there is pleasure. So he eats the cactus and tears his own gums and is drinking his own blood. Like all of you think for a moment, people who smoke a cigarette, you know, is there pleasure in smoking cigarette? You will confidently say there is nothing. But there are many people who think there is something, because they feel that it relieves tension. It looks very stylish to hold a cigarette in between two fingers and show to other people. They say if you are a supervisor or if you are a manager, you have to hold cigarette and stylishly show it to people. You know. And people think it's like it gives you some break, it gives you some kind of feeling of relief of tension and things like that. Already there is so much pollution in the outside world, why to put more smoke inside? But they do that. Now you say, Prabhuji, why did God keep pleasure in cigarette? Actually it is poison. It is not pleasure. Like one boy was telling Prabhupada, Swamiji, because God created tobacco, that means He wants us to smoke cigarettes. Because otherwise, God is the Father, why did He create tobacco? Prabhupada said, God has created Dathura also, poison. That also is there in a plant, you know that? Some plants are poisonous. Prabhupada said, if you want to eat tobacco, eat Dathura also. You have to eat everything. Anyway, God has created stool also, eat stool also. Isn't it? God created good and bad, and He has given you the discrimination to know what is good, what is bad. You have to apply the discrimination to choose the right thing. Similarly, this pleasure is actually pain. See, material enjoyment is synonym of suffering. One of the synonyms. Material enjoyment means suffering. Or we can say material enjoyment is what? Material enjoyment means in a packaged suffering. Very nicely packaged. Very beautifully packaged to buy. Like sometimes, you know, when I was in school days, they said that if you participate in this competition, you have to fill up some, you know, match the following, some tables and all, and you send a letter to somebody. And then they will say that, sir, we congratulate you for winning the first prize in such and such competition. Now we want to send you a very big stereo with, you know, two speakers and everything by parcel. We want to send it to you. So please kindly confirm your address, if this is your address, and along with that please send about 2000 rupees because the CDO costs something like, you know, 20,000, and we want 2000 for packaging and sending it to you. You know, please send it to us. Many foolish people send them. One of our students from Pune also sent it like that. Yeah. They told him that you are going to get 2 crores. You know, you have won this thing and 2 crores. And this boy, they took about 20,000, 30,000 rupees from him for sending it. And this fellow said, "Thought I will not tell anybody. Once the 2 crore comes, you know, then I will tell everybody." And he sent this 20,000, and it is like a, you know, stone put into a well. You never get it back. So then you send the money. Sometimes the parcel also comes. You know, postman brings a parcel and it is very heavy also. And you open and see inside, you find only bricks. You know, yeah, it has happened in South many for many people. You find, you know, 4 or 5 bricks nicely placed, nicely packaged and sent. For the 2000 rupees you send, you get about 2-3 bricks. That's all. Yeah. So that means one gets cheated. This is material enjoyment. Material enjoyment promises a lot from a distance. When you come near, you get cheated. So if you are smart, you know, then you are supposed to see it from a distance only and know that I will be cheated. One knows in advance. But the jnanis are considered to be smart people, but even they get cheated. Why? Because like Saubari Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, they all got cheated. Despite having the power of discrimination. That's why Krishna is saying, yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasavam manaha. He says, you know, my dear Arjuna, even a man of discrimination, who is a man of discrimination? Jnani. Even a jnani can get bewildered, vipaschit person also. Such is the nature of this material illusion. So only person who can be saved from material illusion is a person who takes warm shelter of Krishna, like Haridas Thakur. You see? They will be given the supplied the knowledge by Krishna. Don't get bewildered by this. So it's not that God has kept any pleasure there. This pleasure you can only experience if you put yourself in illusion. Like that a pleasure is kept. And now you may ask, Prabhuji, if only God, even in illusion, if God doesn't keep any pleasure, then we won't run after it. We would surrender to Him. Then you are asking God to make you into a robo. You want God to make you a machine. You are asking for the impossible. Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada said, God doesn't want to force you to surrender to Him. He wants you to, choose it yourself. Actually, God has created this illusion so that the living entities who don't want to come to Him can go on and on. Similarly, from jnanis, they go to Brahma Jyoti, and for millions of years, they never go back to Krishna at all. Because if that's what they like, Krishna keeps them there. Okay, whenever you want to come, you come. If you don't want to come, be there in Brahma Jyoti. Like sometimes the teacher tells a boy, go outside the class and kneel down. But this boy runs away to a movie theater or somewhere. Similarly, jnanis, God sends them to material world to reform and come back to spiritual world and serve Him. From material world, they run away to another place. They go away to some Brahma Jyoti. We will be in our own shanti. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Is it? Correct. Yeah. Actually, the creation of Saptarishis comes separately. But from the Saptarishis, the Gotras come. Different type of Gotras. But these forefathers are called as Pitrus. They are probably one of the first created beings. See, each of this is described by Goswami's and Acharya's commentary. We can go in detail and find out. Like what I read was a little elaboration. But you can get a deeper elaboration on each of these personalities, Gandharvas and Pitrus. What we know is very little. You can find out more. Contrast Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Lord Bhaktavinoda. Thank you very much.